Hello, what's going on? My name is Rich Ryan, here bringing you a tour talk. Today, my guy Nick Riker joins me to talk about Savage Race Florida. What we do, we go over the map, we talk about some different strategies. Nick has some really good insight on how to like visually look at some of these obstacles and figure out what's going to be the most advantageous way to go through them. He's done a couple of these races, so he's made some mistakes during these races, and he tells us all about those, and he tells us about how to avoid those mistakes and how to run this course in particular at a really high level. So I think this is super helpful. Really enjoyed it. I've never done a Savage myself, so I was very inquisitive and trying to pick his brain. So here we go. My guy, Nick Riker. So we wanted to go over this map since Nick has some experience, and we just want to kind of look at things and kind of give some pointers as to how to approach this and some ways that you think you can maximize your race. So Nick, when you're looking at this thing, when we start off specifically,
I've done this course, and it looks like the start is very similar to from last November.
Okay. Cool.
So, it's a long run. Looks like a little over a quarter mile or so. On what my experience of this course, I remember was pretty much it was all flat. The grass was almost mowed, basically. Obstacles were wet, but not a lot of technical terrain running at all. More like a cross country college terrain.
Nice. So yeah. You don't even like so like. The last one of these we did was in Jacksonville. And so you're not expecting a swamp like that?
I'm not at all. No.
Okay. Because there is some cover. It looks like there's some covered areas where on Jacksonville, those covered areas, like what was underneath that was swamp and water.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna assume that that's not the case here. All right. So let's just go through it, man. We're just gonna go through it all. As a caveat, we must say that there are two obstacles on here that we are not sure. No one knows what they are. So the start, it looks pretty flat. Is this going to be a burner? Like
it's going to be a burner. Yeah. It's going to be, people going out like in a 440 mile pace, probably. It's completely flat on mowed grass. And the first couple obstacles, we have widow walls, which is just your regular, like 6 foot, 7 foot walls. People are going to jump over. And then it's another long straightaway to squeeze play, which is another jumping over like a half a fence. And then you got to go underneath a barrel. The barrels move. And then you go over like another half a fence. So that's what the squeeze play is there, because in the middle of it is where the barrels are at. And you got to like just go underneath them. But the barrels push up when you hit them.
So they're not necessarily anything that's going to slow you down too much. Either
no,
those
it's going to be that like, you know, get you out of your stride a little bit. If you haven't done an obstacle course race in a while, you're going to feel that burn in your thighs like you are when you're kind of out of race shape probably, but nothing that's going to trip anybody up, definitely.
And that's like the first mile. So this is going to be
burning
hot. And Savage Races in particular, they do run pretty hot, right? Regardless of the venue, people are going to go out pretty hard.
Yes. Kind of how it is, because first of all, the top people usually at a Savage Race are fast. They're fast dudes. So you usually out of the top, I mean, Ryan Woods, Yuri Force, James Zoich, Albano Vasquez from South Florida. Those were all in one part of their life. They were like sub 15, 5K guys. So it's going to start out fast. I don't know if any of those people are showing up, but you got Kempston going out there. We know Kempston. For redline like crazy. Leon's gonna be out there. I think the guy from South Florida will be out there. So it's still gonna be pushing out hot.
All right. So and for this first mile, there doesn't really seem. Would you caution against that, or do you feel like you have to go in this first mile? Is there a reason to not do that based on the course that you see here?
It just depends what kind of runner you are. Air Force Ken is not gonna go out hot. And he's going to catch everybody that last half mile. I think if this is a race you go out too hot, it looks like they have a pretty good spacing of their upper body rigs obstacles. So if you're already at max heart rate or above threshold there, you might struggle on going across their rigs.
But you're saying the spacing is pretty good, so there might be so that to me that sounds like that'd be more of a reason to go hard.
Yeah.
Right. If like, so like, cause you're going to have some time in between. All right. So his first mile, like get after it, like just go see what's up. And then after that first mile is
go see what you're made of, you know,
see what you're made of. Yeah. You're kind of back at that start then. And it's barn doors.
Is just another wall that has like not 2x4. It's a little bit longer than a 2x4, the width, and it's just another wall. You can just go up and over.
Okay. So no problem there. And then it's back scratcher.
Back scratcher is
that barbed wire?
Usually, yes. But it's usually a wall you jump over. It's usually like 2 to 3 walls you jump over, and then in between there is barbed wire crawl.
Gotcha.
The Savage doesn't have the actual, it's just metal strings going across. There's no barb wire in it actually, so it won't cut you.
So does that change your strategy going through something like that? I mean, because the barbed wire, it does, and you were evidence after Jacksonville. You had some gashes. I'd always play a little too close and end up with some gashes, ruin shorts, the whole deal. But when
my experience with Savage, and they're even a little bit taller, the wires, they're a little bit taller off the ground. So what I usually did was like I would go under one, and then I would go up to like a half crawl, like I'm standing halfway up, run, and then dive under it. So like dive into my roll, get right back up, do another like a stride or two, and then dive back into my roll.
Interesting.
But I don't think like it's still a crawl. Like there's not going to be too much time made up there or lost, or there's not going to be new innovations.
But you don't necessarily right. But you don't necessarily have to like
arm. You don't have to be cautious. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know, because like if you're in that habit of like, oh, this is just how you do it, because of the threat of getting pricked and like just any type of crawl that comes, like that's the pattern that you're into. Like going into that, like you can be more aggressive, and you should try.
Yeah. And coming after that, we still got another wall, great wall. So it's a little bit taller than triple low crawl. I'm just going to assume that's another crawl, barbed wire, but without the barbed wire.
And maybe there's three different sections perhaps.
Yeah, probably triple play on words there.
It's good.
So these first 7 obstacles, because the next one is mud and guts. And that is basically just a log over a very, so they dig out the mud water. They dug out the mud. They dig out and they have a little bit of mud water there, and they just have a log over it. And you got to fit your whole body underneath it, which is like, it's not a big opening. It's probably the shortest to the ground, out of any obstacle course race.
Wait, so what is it?
Think of like a Spartan dunk wall. Where they have the wall over the water and you got to submerge yourself there.
I see.
But you're able to like submerge, you're able to stand up, go to a squat position, and then come out the other end. This, you basically have to army crawl underneath this log. That's just like dug out a little bit underneath it.
So you're getting muddy.
You're getting very muddy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And it looks right after that. Is this the wheel world?
This is wheel world.
So, and that's a rig.
First rig obstacle. Yeah. So this is a very simple obstacle that can mess people up if they've never done it. Because you could just, it's a wheel. So you want to keep your momentum going. I like to 90 degree my arms here and keep my face as close to my hand that's grabbing the wheel as possible.
So just for context, these are horizontal wheels, right?
Horizontal wheels. I think there's 4 or 5 of them, and you just got to get across. But if you lose your momentum, you can't really get across because the wheel won't move. You can't get to the next wheel.
So this is like when you see these ones, you'll be spinning in one direction and you'll come across to the other one and you'll exchange
and you'll spin in the opposite direction. Yeah.
Right. So you kind of have to keep that momentum rolling and allow that to happen as opposed to like trying to move the other
and
way.
And a little pro tip, elite tip, whatever you want to call it. I have got stuck on the wheel. Just my momentum didn't move and I didn't know what to do. The wheels, the lanes are very close to each other. So I do have a longer wingspan, but the lanes are very close together. So I grabbed the wheel in the other lane to help me with my momentum. But like, I just grabbed it and I just pushed off of it to get to the next wheel.
That's savvy. Is that legal?
Yeah. Nobody's told me anything. I haven't seen anything in the rule book about it, but I haven't. I mean, if you like grab somebody's wheel that's about to go on, and I would probably think, but I've never interfered with another racer. But that's the only way, either that or you're going to fall into the water. Like, you can't, once you lose momentum, you can't gain it back unless you do something like that.
Because I guess when you see people like gearing up for like a big lachey, right, where they kind of pump their knees up and then like swing themselves forward, you probably end up going backwards first, right? And like, you probably, because it's a wheel, so it's going to turn with your momentum in either direction that it comes. So yeah, it probably is hard to even kind of pump yourself forward. So that's a good idea. Grabbing that other, that's good awareness. If you had like a signature move, like a WWE star, the Riker, would this be in the contention, or would this just be something you do?
I think this would be one of it, because I haven't seen anybody else do it. And I kind of just thought of it on the fly. So I think this would be one of my, like, Hobie Call invented the roll under barbed wire. I might have invented grabbing a wheel in the other lane if you lose momentum.
That's smart. It's like how the Rock, he had the people's elbow, but that wasn't his main move.
Yeah.
He had multiple moves. He had the Rock bottom. So like,
my main move is going out pretty hard and sometimes crashing.
Just burning it at both ends.
Burning up, yeah.
And then when you get stuck, reaching into the other side, you do both those things. Mm-hmm. So once you get through that, you're going
into mile two.
That's right at mile two. So the second mile is it going to be slower? Just because and a little bit more up and down. How would you approach this in terms, because this is where like your breathing patterns might get out of whack, because it's going to change your momentum a little bit. You're going to be going up over walls and down under walls and into some mud. So how would you approach this? What do you think?
I would just want to stay steady. I would not want to get my heart rate too high, and I'm not trying to make a surge right here. Definitely. I'm not trying to make a surge going underneath barbed wire, going underneath muddy guts and jumping over wall and then doing wheel world. Like, I'm just going to stay steady. It's 2 miles. You still have 4.2 miles left to go. So if I'm off the leader by a couple seconds or I'm off that chase pack, I'm not going to try to surge to catch up to him.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Keep the breathing regulated, like cover moves. If like just maintain contact through these things, but don't necessarily burn it up. That's a good call at that point.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention, but it's kind of worth mentioning, like, there's no elevation profile on this map, but it's Florida, so we're guessing everything is flat.
It's going to be flat. It's going to be flat as can be.
Once you get through wheel world, it's sawhorses. Are those just hurdles?
No, that's actually monkey bars. That is a inverted monkey bar. So it goes up at an angle going upwards. And then it angles downward when you get to the halfway point.
What is sawtooth then?
Oh, is that?
I think sawtooth is the, because look at the top left up here.
You're correct. I'm not with. Okay, then I don't know what sawhorses.
Usually those sawhorses are like those like Irish table type things. It doesn't look like they have any type of rig set up there.
Yeah. That's the Irish table. Correct. I just looked that up. Yeah. Okay. So that's another jumping over an obstacle. That's not going to slow you down at all.
So it's not going to slow down at all. So after, and then you're going to kind of head into some woods here. And then you got clotheslines.
I'm actually not familiar with that one either. Let's look it up real fast.
Based on the context, clotheslines. This could be another crawl. It could be a low clothesline. It could be something that has that do with that sheet. I know they're like breaking out the sheets, right? So maybe it is, or maybe it's a tightrope.
It won't be. Walk. I don't think they have a tightrope obstacle. It's actually not pulling up on their Google search at all. So I don't know. Somebody let us know in the comments below.
So it's in the woods.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's not a rig.
It's probably not gonna be a rig. It's gonna be jumping over something, going underneath it, or going lateral on an obstacle probably.
And then it comes into Lumberjack Lane, and that's a carry, right?
That's a carry. It's like a 4x4. It weighs maybe like 10 pounds. You're not gonna really gain any ground on, like, I remember my first obstacle course race. I was trying to chase down James Zulich, who is an extremely fast runner. And we were getting up to the Lumberjack Lane. I was like, oh, finally a carry. I might be able to put some time on him because he's not a strong guy. He's a tall, langly kind of guy, like kind of like a VJ Jones, but like literally no like muscle tone on him. Great guy though. But like it literally weighs like 10 pounds.
Okay.
I don't know how long this carry is. It doesn't show it on the map. It doesn't show
very
it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in pass, then the Savage Race Florida, they had us carry this 4x4 piece of wood and go over walls, go through walls, go underneath barbed wire with it. So they like to implement this obstacle, this carry, into something that at least make it a little more challenging to break up your stride a little more.
So it's something else, a little bit more versatile. It makes you think a little bit. So it's not like what, like coming up to something, okay, what is this, slows people down and you got to like fiddle with it. And we passed the third mile. So this is a lot of running.
It did. Yes.
What do you do at this point of this race? Cause this looks like flat. Maybe it's a little bit broken up. It looks like,
is where you're going to have to, if you have a move, if you can throw down a little faster pace, this is where you got to do it. Cause you're halfway there and you know that last mile of obstacles, that last mile of this race is very obstacle dense. Like unless somebody fails, you're not going to catch up back up to them. So I think this is where you got to start thinking, hey, am I in this race or am I out of this race?
That's a great point. Like make sure you're with who you want to be with, that you're holding on to contact. If it's getting a little uncomfortable, you have to just kind of suck it up at this point.
Yeah.
Because something's going to come back to you in that last mile. Like there's going to be times to slow down. You got to, after really the wheel world, if you can come off that with some momentum and get right into a run pace and just like kind of lay it down a little bit, or at least get into that rhythm.
Yeah. And you're coming out of the woods here. It might be muddy here. It might be a little swampy. I don't remember really, you know, I do remember there was a solid swamp section in Savage Florida November. It did go up to like our knees for a little bit. I can't remember how long it is, but this is probably that same swamp section that's coming out of Lumberjack Lane, I would assume.
Yeah, okay. So it might be a little bit slow, but still you got to maintain contact here. But after Lumberjack Lane, it's Block Party.
Yeah, and that's like it's attached to a concrete block of rope and you're just pulling it like
it's just sled, a drag.
It's like a drag. It's like the sled drag in a Spartan race. So you pull it all the way and then you carry and put it back to the starting. So nothing too special there. That's basically it's not very heavy either, so you'll be fine, anybody.
So after that it looks like about a half mile until you get to Savage Rig.
Yes.
And they have been
innovating every single time. It's never the same. And, you know, it took my band of Charlotte. They like to put, you know, it's a tough out of
it's hard.
Savage, Spartan, Tough Mudder, anything else. Like, this is one of the hardest rigs you'll see all year is a Savage Rig. It's in Florida where they're from, so they kind of want to make their home course a little bit harder, I think. So, just be prepared for this one. You know, don't have high confidence going through it. But don't try to take 2 minutes going through either. You want to be smooth and efficient.
Coming from Block Party leading into the Savage Rig, how are you running? Knowing that this is probably the most difficult obstacle that you're going to face the entire day. I mean, the gauntlet's going to be its own kind of challenge.
If you get through the Savage Rig, the gauntlet will be fine to you.
Okay.
That's how much harder it is than everything else.
So you're going to back off at this point, like leading into after Block Party, you're going to be like, okay, preparing.
I don't know if you're losing contact. I don't know.
Say like, okay, if you know you're going to get through this, everything is good. I mean, when you're racing and you're in the mix and you're first or second, like first five, whatever, like you're good. Like, or if you can just kind of maintain or latch on to somebody, like, is it advantageous to do that? Or should you just not care and just kind of go?
I think you should not care because when you start thinking, I feel like that first option you said, you're going to get in your own headspace into this Savage Rig. You want to have full confidence, you know, this is the only thing that matters right now. You know, once I get through this, it's a little over 2 miles left and I can do everything else. You know, it's all about running with confidence here.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So just know that that's coming, right? Like, and that's almost 4 miles into the race at the 4 mile mark.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to be there. Mm-hmm.
They love using those horizontal cheese boards. Yeah. One day it's going to snap on somebody. Like, you can't just keep putting weight on it every other weekend, basically. But I haven't really seen much pictures of it. I've just seen the horizontal cheese board is back.
And they'll put like the sheets out there too. Like, they'll have and so when you did fail the one in Charlotte, there was that, like, how could we even say it? Like a hose, kind of like a dangling hose.
Yeah, it was just kind of like a
U.
Yeah.
That like you can kind of grab onto with your feet and then shimmy onto it. And what you did, you tried to shimmy just like
with my feet first,
move down feet first, and then just try to reach across the water onto the platform.
Yeah. And
you hit.
And I tapped the water. Yeah.
Where a lot of people, they were going across and like sitting on top of it. They would get to the middle, sit on top of it, spin around so that they could use their arms to pull themselves closer to the platform.
Yeah. Yes. And that was the way to go.
Would you do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think your feet first, because if you drop your feet there, you're so low to the ground. No matter how strong a core you have, you're not going to hold yourself up. It's going to hit the water unless you're directly over the land, then you can drop your feet.
It's a good wrinkle. It's a good wrinkle for an obstacle. It really is. Cause like you're already there. You're like, all right, I just muscle my way through.
Like, I already got through the hard part. Like, I remember I already got through the hard part. Boom. Get on this rope, go into the next obstacles. Like, I was already thinking ahead. So that's what a savage rig kind of thinks. You can't think ahead, you know?
When you're on that bridge,
you gotta be in that moment. Yeah.
Right. And like, there might be problem solving that you have to do during it. So again, like the breathing part, focus, taking your time. Will you eye this thing up? Like, will you sit there and be like, maybe I'll have to do it this way?
I would like to take a deep breath. I would like to, on my warm up, go out there and, as you can see, there's a little path.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little spectator path. You can go out there on your warm up.
Right by the start. And, this, you know, green dotted line.
Yeah, just take a deep breath. Try to find your lane. If you can find a lane that's not close to somebody else, because you don't want to accidentally hit them with your feet or something, mess up your momentum. That's the way to go.
All right. So you got through that, feeling confident. You're in inversion therapy. What is that?
That's their low rig. So it's not really a rig, because there's no like monkey, there's no like multi rings on there or like handles. It's it's probably like 2 or 3 feet off the ground, and you gotta like put your feet on there, put your hands on there, and like you were doing what's the Spartan Tyronean verse?
Oh, okay.
You gotta traverse it. Yeah, you have to traverse it. It goes like metal pole to maybe another pole into like ropes, to like little stair ropes.
Is it a problem? Is it hard?
No. It's just the same thing. If you drop your feet, you're so low to the ground, you can't keep them up.
See.
It's usually over grass. So it's not really a problem. It's just something new. It's just something to use your whole body again.
Got it. So like the two rigs pretty much back to back. So just like stopping, making sure, you're breathing, you're thinking a little bit, you're ready to think, and that you're just kind of taking your time to get through it.
And then when you get to here, you could probably hear the festival area right there. Like,
yeah,
you can, this is, again, if you have a mash to burn, this is where you need to just start your kick, I guess. And try to chase somebody down. If you're in the lead, this is where you just need to keep surging to put a little more time on every obstacle.
Okay, got it. Because what's tree hugger then?
Tree hugger is another, you're going lateral. So it's like a pull, there's a pole with a foot hold in it. And then you grab a tree log that's standing up, standing vertical, and they have a little foot hold in there. So it goes metal pole, piece like a tree lumber, metal pole, lumber, metal pole bell. When I did this in Florida, I picked a lane where the foothold on the second piece of lumber was on the backside of the wood.
Huh.
So I couldn't keep, I was like, how am I supposed to do this? I thought they all didn't have a foothold on there. So I actually fell off about three times, which cost me a lot of time. And then I went to I saw the next lane over, like there is holes on it. Mine was just on the backside that I couldn't see it. So again, pick a lane where the footholds are very noticeable.
Do you do that now? Will you visually confirm?
Like, yeah. Okay. The next day we did it, and I was like, I know which one to go to. Like, I know, like, I took a breath and I saw which one I want to go to.
That's important, man. That's why these races, like, if you haven't, like, when I do my first Savage race, I'm going to have a hell of a time just because of things like that. It's like coming up to it and needing to see how, like, knowing how to do it and seeing the different parts of it and being able to explore, like, what makes sense. Like, that's like, the Z wall, for example, you can kind of do that in Spartan, right? Like, depending on how it's kind of tilted. And like Mark Gaudet, he'll look at the feet on the Z wall. He like has a foot preference on that. I don't necessarily, but like, that's an example, right? You come up to it and you can kind of examine what's happening and then make a decision based off of what you're seeing. So if you see the holds on the side or the front, do that one, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you're through there. And then Twin Peaks, that just looks like two
ramps back to back. Yeah.
Yeah. Two,
go up, go down, walls. Go up, go down. Yeah.
And then ramp wall. Is that another one?
Yeah. So ramp wall is 17. Like, it would be like Ninja Warrior's little like ramp wall. They have a piece of rope on it, but, you can easily just run up all the way up it. And then it's just another, like, you just walk down the backside.
Cool. So right there, and then we're at mile five, and this is the six-mile race, right?
Yeah, we're there. You have seven, that's obstacle number 17, 28 obstacles in there. So you have, what is that math? 11 obstacles in the last mile.
So is the running done at this point?
The running, like, somebody could catch you if you're definitely, if your body, if like, you know,
on
you
the
got
running?
That pump, if you got your pump, if you got pump in your arms, like blood pumping through your arms, and you just cannot run, somebody could definitely catch you, but your top end speed is not going to be there.
You're probably not going to run anybody down unless they're making mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're saving your running it to this point, like you've made a mistake.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Unless like you need to have that, all that energy, like, everything needs to stay aerobic just so you don't drain yourself to go into this final.
I mean, there's 11 obstacles left. If you can put 2 seconds on somebody on every obstacle and they were 20 seconds ahead of you, you're right there.
True. That's a good point. So over unders, are those just walls again?
That's another wall. Yeah.
And Colossus, that's another inverted wall, right? Is that the
inverted wall that you pretty good ramp. You got to run up. Some people lose their bands at this point because they will get up on the ramp and you kind of have to not muscle up, but you have to use the same form of like pushing yourself up to get on top of this ramp finally.
And there's a rope.
Yeah, there is a rope. Yeah. There's a rope. And then you climb a small ladder to go on top of it. And then you slide down the slide. Pretty fun to just slide down it.
These are the funny pictures, right?
Yeah.
Good pictures on both ends.
Yeah. And you land into the water. If you see Air Force Ken ever take his pictures on it, while he's going down this ramp, he's already getting into his swim motion. Like, he's already like diving in there.
He dives in?
Yeah. I usually try to do like a little baseball slide, like pop up, like slide down with a foot behind me. And then like, I try to pop up at the end and try to jump as far as I can.
I've seen the pictures, man. That's not what it does.
To think it does.
No. Yeah.
And honestly, a very like underrated thing of this obstacle, that tarp, because you can stand up in it, that tarp is slick. So when you get to the angle, you're getting close to
the water.
Land. Yeah. So when you're getting close to the land, you're at an angle, you know, and it's very slippy. Like, you might slip 3 or 4 times before you can get up on land.
That's so frustrating when it's like,
yeah,
that's so frustrating.
It's literally right there.
So like, I would say like, you're not gaining time through that water. If you get up and try to hammer through it and you're slipping, like, you're just going to sap energy. So like, really you just need to go slow and get through it. Right.
Yeah.
All right. And then, so you're going to be wet, and then you're coming up to Sawtooth, which is a long monkey bar.
Yeah, monkey bars that angles upward. Some people like to do like the twister method, like on Spartan, like go backwards on the way up, and then they like to swing down. Like Yuri Force will do that. Alexander Walker would do that. I just go forward.
Are you going bent arm or are you going?
I usually go bent arm and try to like skip a couple. You know, it's, I don't think swinging is going to save you any more time than bent arm. Unless you're swinging and skipping three at a time. If you're going bent arm, you're only doing one at a time. Like a long reach like me, I like to skip two or three at a time, even bent at a 90-degree angle.
Even with bent? Yeah. Okay. And we didn't talk about this before leading into Wheel World because Mud and Guts is right before that. And with this, Colossus is right before Sawtooth. So they're obviously making it a challenge going into these, making your hands wet or muddy. Yeah. What do you do in that circumstance? Are you just like...
Just try to like, you know, shake the hands a little bit. I don't think Sawtooth is an obstacle. Like, if you have wet hands, you're going to fall off, really.
Because they're thin.
They're thin.
Bars.
They're thin. They don't move. I mean, it is long. It's a longer monkey bars, but I think most people are going to be fine with it. This is an obstacle that doesn't take a lot of bands.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
But the next one will. The Battering Bird can.
Battering Bird. So to me, the Battering... Wait, is that... Oh, so they don't have Twirly Bird. Okay, so it's Battering Bird is a pretty tough. So it's the Twirly battering. Bird, it's, yeah, is when they mix it through. The Battering Bird is, or is that it?
I think that is when they have the Battering Ram and then it's into Twirly Bird.
Okay, yeah. So I find that easier than just the Battering one itself. Like, because you only have to do one. What would you call those things?
They, something
it's like
that
if you went to your park growing up and one of those metal things that like you can hold on to and it goes back and forth
and you can slide, you can hang on and like the momentum slide will slide
back
you
and forth,
these are like pipes that you hang on to and you kind you have to use shimmy your way down it.
So I found it harder when they had both of those back to back because they put the Battering Bird and then it's the Twirly Bird rope and you can usually skip the next hold and go right back to the rope. And the thing about Savage, you might forget, you can kick the bell.
Ooh.
So you can get to the second Twirly Bird rope and kick the bell if you're long enough.
So when you're doing the Battering Ram part, there's like intuitively when you think about it and what I've seen, there seems to be a couple ways you can do it. You can just do like short ones to slide it down because it's sticky, right? Like you do need to really kind of get some, so you can do short little like shuffles to kind of slowly get there with a bent arm, or you can try to use your momentum. Like the way I was thinking, like kind of using my hips to kip up to be, create a little bit of weightlessness and then kind of like slam it forward.
Yeah. So I kind of do the bent arm because I am kind of fatigued at this point. So like that one that you were talking about, kind of like kipping your hips, that takes a little more out of me than the kind of like shimmying across.
Got it. And then, okay. So that makes sense because then does it go backwards? Like if you were to have straight arms and like really swinging your hips,
it doesn't really go backwards.
It won't go backwards. Okay. No, so you can swing backwards on it to then swing yourself forward to get a big one. Yeah.
I haven't experienced it going backwards on me.
What's the grip like on that? It's a fatter bar, right?
It's a fatter bar.
Is it sticky and textured?
Yeah, it's probably the same grip width on a Spartan monkey bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Twirly Birds, those are like the shredded cords, I guess. How would you say
like
that?
Like a mop. Like if you mop. Like a mop. Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Mop.
Is it fabric like a mop or is it bungee?
No, it's like a rope climb kind of.
Oh, it's
fabric.
A rope. It's like those little tiny ropes. Do they end up being slippery or is the grip okay?
The grip is usually okay. So many people have been on it, they kind of like worn the grip into it. Like I bought a brand new one and it was slick. But the more they get used, I think the more they get broken into.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Now the next obstacle, this is a new one. I don't know what that is.
Yank my chain.
Yank my chain. I was That might be some kind of hoist I hear. I'm not for sure.
Okay. And then, so we're not quite sure. What's the next one? Miso smooth.
So miso smooth was miso thorny, and that's like
innuendo. Lots of innuendo on this.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, you got your little lane. It's like barbed wire, and you got to crawl. So there's barbed wire on the side of you and on top of you, and you have a little lane. You got like you're going to like a tunnel, almost of wires. And you usually got to angle it sometimes. You got to do like a little turn in there. So they're calling it miso smooth because they don't have the barbed wire actually. It's just a metal rods going across.
So is this just taking your time getting through it? Yeah. Like not stressing?
And this for me, it is very tight. So somebody like me who's, you know,
yoked, 6 foot.
compared to somebody a little bit shorter, this is a little harder to get through.
Okay. Jordan's number though. That's good. That's a good one for you. If you were at this race and that was Jordan's number, I mean, that'd be easy for you. Yeah.
And the next one, pedal to the metal.
Like, explain this one.
Back to back to back to back to all the way to the finish line. This is.
Yeah. That's hardly running. This looks like maybe, I mean, yank my chain to miso smooth. They might literally be a walk. And this one might be, I don't know, 200 meters, 300 meters.
So pedal to the metal is a burner. It's there to burn your thighs. It's there to get you frustrated. It is a tire attached to the rope. And it's attached at the end of that rope is like basically just like a pedal. What is that? Like a barrel that you can roll it that has rope on it. Like in those Western movies or whatever.
I follow you. I don't know what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
So those would be in the air horizontally, and you have to push with your feet, like you're pedaling a bike, push with your feet to get the tire closer to you. The tire is probably 20 meters. I mean, and it's an absolute burner because you're in this position where you're using your whole thighs. You're in this part of the race where you might be cramping up here. And, you know, I've passed people on this and people have passed me. If it's wet and you don't have the best grip on the planet, VJ shoes, and it's wet, you might not be able to get the pedal even going because you're going to slip right off.
What's the strategy for this in terms of effort? Tell me positionally.
If this is in the middle of the race, you're not trying to blow up. You're just trying to get it done as efficiently as possible. If this is at the end like this, you got to have to like basically blow up. To go all out because you're there at the finish line basically. So the first thing you want to do is the same thing as like a rig. Like you want to pick your lane. You don't want to pick a tire that's on top of another tire or underneath another tire or tangled around the rope. You want to pick a good tire that's not tangled at all. It's right side up. And then you want to pick one side of that barrel that you push your feet with. You don't want to use both of your feet on two different sides. You want to use both your feet on one side and just crank that thing in.
Why is that?
It's faster.
It's faster. More narrow stance.
With a more narrow stance, you don't have your legs spread out trying to do both sides. And it's a better rhythm if you do one side, you're at a narrow stance, your feet are right underneath your hips. If you do both sides, your feet are outside of your hips.
God, that makes sense. Then you don't have to worry about like catching the rope. If you're along one side.
Yeah. And then another pro tip, when you get done with it, the tire hits a piece of metal telling you when you're done. You get up and you have to roll your tire. Like you have to put your tire back where it was.
You have to run it back out there.
Yeah. Take the rope. And before you even touch the tire, take the rope that's all wrapped up and yank on it as hard as you can. And then you take the tire and put it out there because it's a resistance basically. If the whole way out there is resistance, if you can go ahead and yank it, it's not resisting you as early.
Interesting. That's a good call. Is it worthwhile to sit there and yank the whole thing?
No, I think you just want one big yank
just to get the momentum going.
Yeah.
Just so you're not fighting it as soon as you start. Cause it sounds like that'll be exhausting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. Anchors away is, pedal to metal, you can't fail. But
it could take you 30 seconds. It could take you 3 minutes.
and mentally it can be, it seems like that's a mental challenge.
Like how much you want to burn right there, basically.
How much you want to burn, how much you want to think. Again, like you laid out a couple of things where you visually like seeing what makes sense and like picking your spots and doing it right and not getting frustrated if you screw it up. Mm-hmm. Anchors Away is like the Gibbon kind of.
Yeah, so it's like an anchor you would put in the water. You know, it has two sides and you have rings, like a multi-ring. And it's like the Gibbons. You got to go to ring to ring, ring to anchor, ring to anchor, and you bring the rings with you the whole time.
Is this hard?
No, I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah. This one you do have to kind of swing.
If you lose momentum, this one you need to go arms locked out, not at an angle, locked out, and arms straight. And like a lot of people, like most of the males, they can skip an anchor. You know, you can skip an anchor, and then it only takes you two swings if you can skip.
And so you're probably not on it that long either. And it looks like there hasn't been like, I mean, like I said, this is a lot back to back to back, but there might not be a grip obstacle since Battering Bird at this point, which was maybe a half mile from there. So you're going to have some time. So I don't think this necessarily will be, as long as you can like figure out the rhythm of it.
If you could get past the Savage rig, you'll get past the rest of the rigs.
Got it. Okay, cool. But like, yeah, but if it was like Battering Bird and then this and then something else, but there's some time here.
Yeah.
And then it's
Cornhole, which is like, do you call it bags?
I think we call it Cornhole.
I think I do too. I don't really know, but that's what it is. Basically, it's a wall that's inverted and has a little hole in it. I don't know how heavy the medicine balls are, but you just got to throw it. It's got to go in the hole and then you move on. Yeah.
Is it stupid?
No, I don't know. It's whatever.
It's fine. Like,
it's fine. Just something to, you know, to do.
You're just doing stuff.
Yeah. No dumber than pipe layer.
Well, pipe layer is really dumb.
Yeah.
So it could be dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something to do.
No dumber than pipe layer.
Yeah.
But there's another Savage rig here.
Yeah. That's probably going to be pretty tough.
So do they typically have two rigs, and are they both really hard normally?
I've never had two Savage rigs.
Man.
Yeah.
So this could really make a break. And you know, we can only speculate. And it's after Anchors Away and after the one that's as dumb as Pipe Layer, but I guess this is, and at this point in the race, like it's over. Like we just went past the 6 mile mark and it looks like this is it. This is like the fire jump.
And well, you have the cargo, the
big ass cargo.
Yeah. Which is not as big as a Spartan one. So like, it only takes me one flip to go down the Savage one.
And I guess when you're at the Savage rig at this point, like there's no strategy.
Yeah.
Right. Like you just got to get through it however you will. And like, if you're there and you like, how many times are you going through that before your band gets taken? Like, are you going to go and go?
So
and
if
go?
If I fail the first Savage rig and I just put my band off, I'm probably walking off the course. I'm going to be a sore loser walking off the course. If I can't get this Savage rig, I'm probably going to try and try and try until like I physically cannot do it anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
If I give up my band here, I'm going to at least do the cargo net of finish then.
Right. You're getting the pro non-complete.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, this is very, very back heavy. So I think some of the main takeaways are don't save your running. let the running out for miles. The first mile, the second to the third mile.
Stall horses, number 9. That's like a balance obstacle. It is. It's just remembering. It's like 4 2x4s hanging down, and then you have little footholds that you got to swing from one piece of wood to the other. It's a balance obstacle.
Oh, so it'll slow you down.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's failable.
Yeah, you can fall off of it. I've slipped off of it before. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So yeah, but after that, I mean, we don't know what clotheslines, what that really looks like, and
yank my chain.
So what do you think of some of the final takeaways? Like if you're going into this thing, like if you had to break it down, three of Riker's tips, Savage tips.
Go out hard, but under control. You know, do as I say, not as I do. Go out hard, but be under control still.
Is that when you're saying that, like, to me, I'm thinking it's like, I tell people like comfortable, but hard is like threshold pace or like a 10 mile pace or something like that. Like something a little bit like a 15K, a little bit slower than 10K. You're saying you would go
if
out.
If you go out hard and you look down at your watch and you're going a faster pace than you ever did in an interval, you're going out too hard, I feel like.
So don't go out at like like 5K pace, sub 5K pace.
Yeah.
There's no place for that.
Yeah.
There's no place for 5K pace over a 10K course, but like through points of this, I'm assuming you can get to that type of speed. So comfortable. So go out hard, but like with sense. Okay.
Yeah. And when you get to that mile, a little before mile two, at mile two, that's when you can start opening up. And all the way from mile two till basically Sawtooth, that's all running. And then after Sawtooth, you're not going to catch a lot of people on a run, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tip number two.
Tip number two is, you know, have confidence. Have confidence that you're going to get every single obstacle. You know, don't worry about something that's not even there yet. You know, don't worry that, you know, I'm at mile two and I have anchors away still coming up. You know, be wherever you're at in the race, be in that moment and have confidence in yourself.
I like that. No regrets on things. Yeah. I used to approach races without even looking at the map. It didn't like, and I would just be like, whatever it is, I'm just going to do it. But it's nice to see the map. It's nice to go over the map.
You got to look at the map. Yeah.
I used to just be like, doesn't matter, but it matters a little bit. But I like that idea.
And tip number three, pick your lane, pick where you want to put your feet, take that second, take a deep breath. And you know, taking a 2 seconds at the beginning of it is a heck of a lot faster, and getting through is a heck of a lot faster than not taking that time and falling off of it and then having to do it again.
Perfect. Perfect. That was great. I didn't even ask you. I didn't even prepare you to do three.
No, you did it.
The three tip breaker special, but you did it. You crushed it. This looks like fun, man. Are you bummed you're not going?
A little bit. Two trips to Florida in less than a month. That's rough.
That's too many.
Yeah. If I lived closer, it'd be better. But
if you had stayed down there, I'd done like the snowbird thing. But
yeah, I'll be there in the fall probably. I don't want to put my season, like my schedule front heavy. You know, I want to get in shape and then go back heavy.
And just doing races for the sake of doing them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'm excited to see people out there. I guess Kempton's going. I'm excited to see Leon out there and whoever else is going. Hopefully Jay-Z will be there and it'll be a fun race. And they live stream the whole race, so you'll be able to see it.
They do?
Yeah. They have somebody in the Gator. And they're live streaming it.
Oh, nice.
Following the leaders, following the women leaders, going back and seeing the podium people. So you'll be able to see it. If you want to try out a Savage, watch the live feed and see how the top people do the obstacles, and you'll be good.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for joining me today. This is definitely helpful. I mean, I'm like jealous I'm not going out. Never done a Savage. I will. I'm actually not sure. I can't say that. I might do one. They do it. They have a Pennsylvania one. They come to PA twice.
Yeah.
And Maryland's close. Are you still counting on Charlotte? Is that what we're thinking next? Or we just got to get healthy?
I'll be at, I want to get healthy. I'm going in the right direction with my health. I'll be at DecaFit.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah.
DecaFit, the first one ever. And
I heard you and Jack Bauer are joining forces.
Oh, I'll bury him. Yeah. Jack's gonna run a 5K in Colorado this weekend and run like a 17:30, and he's gonna blame it all on the altitude.
The altitude's real. The altitude's a real thing, man.
I know, but he's lived there long enough.
Come on down. No, he'll come to sea level and bring his smash. Who else is it? Who else is coming to DECA?
Derek York. I don't know if Ryan Kent's gonna be there. I don't think Hunter McIntyre's gonna be there, but Robert Killian, 2-time world champion, Victor Quesada, Jack Bauer, we'll see.
You could win.
I can win.
I should come. I can't. Yeah, I can barely run right now. Oh. I ran 20 minutes the other day, yesterday.
Pretty good.
And I'm sore today though.
Oh.
But yeah, that's gonna be fun, man. That's gonna be really cool. I'd love to see what that DECA fit is like. Cause yeah, I did that DECA strong And you beat me. But yeah. There's
it was close.
it was as close as we were to Sam Briggs, which actually I feel pretty good about. You know, she's like CrossFit world champion, and you know,
I'm like we're not CrossFitters.
Huh.
No, we're
just like dudes. We go running.
I just went out. I just did it. I've never rode before. Just did it.
He's muscled it up. I would have liked, I would have loved to have some running in between the deck of strong. That'd have been great. I'd be like after, like before I got on that assault bike and after I got off that assault bike, I would have loved some space. I would have loved a little bit of run before,
like I said, the assault bike. And then it's the medicine ball toss after the assault bike. Is it, or is it the tank?
Yeah. The med ball toss.
Med ball is 60 pounds. It's not, it's just heavy enough where you got to use the legs.
I thought that was really light. I was like, lightweight. But the bike screwed me up. I was really slow on the bike. I think I just was like, this is going to take me forever. And the sled, it was like, you can't
go fast. Yeah.
It like didn't move. And going backwards, when you went backwards, were you walking it backwards or were you like rowing it?
I was walking it backwards.
I was burning up. I was like walking. I couldn't. I was like, all right, I got to row this thing. So I don't know if I lost a ton of time there or what. I don't know what the deal was. Because I should have smashed you. I should have.
Yeah, you really should have.
I should have completely.
I did that with like a torn ACL, torn Achilles, basically.
Basically. Cool. Well, DecaFit's next. Maybe Charlotte then.
Maybe Charlotte. I'm signed up for it. And then we'll see after that. Might have some trail races. Nothing else.
Nice. Yeah. All right, dude. Well, I appreciate you popping on. I think this is going to be good and fun. And we'll talk to you soon.
See you, man. Yeah, you should do a Savage, man.
I can't find the stop record.